number 12, now that we've discussed the types of mentoring, within the three different levels of mentoring, let's now discuss the need for a balanced approach to the mentoring relationships in our life. No matter what the subject is, I have discovered that balance is the key to a healthy life. Too much involvement in church or in ministry activities without proper family time leaves one out of balance. And so it is also true of mentoring. Balance is healthy. As a Christian, and especially as a leader, you want to take the necessary steps to ensure that you're making the most of your life. You want to ensure that you are building it in such a way that pleases God. To avoid building a life around wood, hay, and stubble, and to receive praise from God, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12, and chapter 4, verse 5 state, it is necessary to surround yourself with a relational network of accountability for growth and effective ministry. A lack of a relational structure of accountability leads to isolation, which enhances the risk of failure. Now, Paul had this balanced approach in his life. He had Gamaliel and Barnabas as mentors. He had Timothy and Titus and others as mentorees. And he had numerous peers as partners in the gospel. So, Paul did not isolate himself while in ministry. Until the end, he surrounded himself with mentors, mentorees, and peers. He wrote letters, made personal visits, and shared with each of them. And his network of accountability helped him maintain successful balance in relationships. This balanced relational network of accountability entails three dimensions. And put in a very simple way, they are up, down, and sideways. Some call this the vertical dimension, the downward dimension, and the horizontal dimension. And relationships in each direction help us maintain balance in our lives. So let's examine each of these individually and in fuller detail. The vertical dimension involves a mentor, someone who has more experience, someone who has more knowledge, or just someone who has traveled down the road before. And many of the different types of mentors that we have just examined would fulfill this role. It is extremely important to maintain a teachable spirit all throughout your life. There never comes a time when you do not need to learn. There never comes a time when you do not need to grow or involve yourself in continual development. We never reach the point where we know it all, and therefore we can stop learning and growing. Those who think they have reached the pinnacle of knowledge and experience deceive themselves. So during this life, we are in the continual process of becoming more like Christ. Individuals early in their life or in their ministry, need mentors to provide perspective, support, and insight into experiences that they themselves haven't had yet. And as one gets older, the need may be much more reflective in nature. Growth in understanding large processes or grasping the big picture. So whatever juncture you are at, a mentor can provide further growth and development. Not only do mentors above help us continue with growth and maturity, mentoring someone below helps others successfully deal with what they will encounter along life's road. Investing your life, your experiences, and your knowledge in another is a very, very fruitful and meaningful task. Instilling commitments, values, and understanding and learning experiences in others behind you helps the next generation serve God faithfully and carry on the message and the meaning and the lifestyle of following Jesus. Since perfect individuals who mentor everything are difficult to find, people are becoming very specific in what they want mentored. Now, this means that there is room for you in this whole mentoring concept. There's room for everyone. Everyone can mentor something to someone. And linking up what you know with someone who needs to know it can impact a life for eternity. We've all heard stories of the drug addict, the prostitute, and the alcoholic who spend their lives helping others who were just like them. And they are simply helping others as they themselves have been helped. One woman desired to be a Sunday school teacher to inspire others the way her Sunday school teacher had inspired her. When speaking of downward mentoring, we do not mean to imply in any way a master-servant relationship where one lords it over the other. As we've already noted, good mentors recognize the goals and needs of their mentorees and plan for their success. They have their best interest at heart. The power of downward mentoring to impact another individual is awesome. And so helping others succeed helps bring relational balance to our life. In addition to upward, that's the mentor, and downward mentoring, that's instilling your life in someone else, horizontal mentoring, or sideways, is the third dimension that provides balance. Here we are speaking of peers on the same level as yourself. You have something in common with another individual that you can both naturally relate to. And the area of common bond could be age, could be families, jobs, circumstances, or a number of other things. And similarities allow for the sharing of frustrations. Comparing notes on circumstances and sharpening each other. Gathering support and encouragement and insight. It's wonderful to be able to share not only with someone who has been there before or someone who will someday be there, but also with someone who is there right now alongside of you. Peers refresh us, they challenge us, and they encourage perseverance. It's nice to know that there are others who are in the same boat as you, going through the same circumstances as you, going through the same emotions and struggles as you, and in need of the same type of help and encouragement that you are in need of. women usually tend to have more of these type of relationships than men do. Whether you are a man or a woman, you need peer relationships with high levels of trust and commitment for balance in your life. As a leader or as a pastor, you need someone else on a peer level other than your spouse. With a high degree of expectations in the pastorate, many ministers often have thousands of acquaintances, but very few close friends with whom they can share openly and honestly with. Sometimes this takes the form of a peer group of friends where sharing and accountability take place, such as a men's prayer group or a couple's Bible study. But while this may be helpful, the downside is that too many people, or the wrong mix of people, tends to inhibit the depth of sharing and accountability. It is usually unable to reach the depth of a one-on-one relationship. During one of my pastorates, I was involved in an area-wide pastor's prayer fellowship group from our denomination. And I could never share there, I could never open up, I could never allow anything to leak out because one of the pastors happened to be the son of an elder in my church. And on one particular occasion, I did say something, and it got back to me, and the only way that it could have gotten around was through someone in that area pastor's prayer fellowship. And I figured out that because it came to me through the elder, that it was probably his son who had broken the confidentiality. And so that was the wrong mix of people for me. And it did not have the depth of a one-on-one relationship, and it inhibited my sharing. But let's look at a biblical example of a close friendship. And it's found in the relationship between David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel. They were both proven warriors. David killed the giant Goliath, and Jonathan heroically faced the Philistines. And they were about the same age and were both leaders. They both experienced the same environments in the house and army of Saul. They were committed to each other through a sworn friendship with one another in the name of the Lord. They mutually encouraged one another. They sharpened one another and had each other's best interests at heart. Take time to read the wonderful story of friendship between David and Jonathan in 1 Samuel. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 10, speaks of the benefits of the friendship factor. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. In summary, a balanced relational network is extremely beneficial. We all need mentors over us who can help us sail the uncharted waters of life. And we all need those under us in whom we can invest our life, knowledge, and experiences so they can serve the Lord faithfully and effectively. And finally, we need peers who can share common interests and experiences, with whom we can find honest sharing, mutual encouragement, and loving accountability. Now, as you examine your life as a pastor or as a layperson, do you find this three-dimensional balance, or are you deficient in one or more of these areas? Many have been involved in mentoring relationships long before we decided it was a worthy and fruitful endeavor. We can learn from those who've gone before us in this very subject. There are successful and fulfilling mentoring relationships, and there have been some failures as well. Some relationships just don't seem to measure up to our expectations, and when that happens, frustration develops. Some get off to a great start, only to sag in the middle and finish the relationship poorly. So learning from the mistakes and failures of those who've gone before us is a helpful and positive way to avoid the same mistakes. There are some important things we have learned from them that could keep you from disaster. We've learned some important things that could enhance your mentoring experience and provide a foundation for success. So with the hope of improving our mentoring relationships, let's examine some important points learn from those who've walked the path before us. First, establish and develop the relationship. Mentoring will not occur without the existence of some sort of relationship, whether that be direct or indirect. Since mentoring occurs within a relational environment, this aspect is absolutely essential and foundational. Sometimes mentoring relationships just sort of naturally develop. But at other times, a more deliberate effort is needed. Some relationships grow very deep, while others really don't need to grow deep. However, no matter what the mentoring situation, a greater degree of growth and development can occur when the relationship is strong. Establishing and developing the relationship is important because without it, mentoring cannot take place. So better results are attained when there is a strong relational contact. So number one, be sure to establish and develop the relationship. That's foundational because the entire mentoring process revolves around the relational environment. Next, mutually agree on the goals of the relationship. One of the big reasons mentoring can be so frustrating is due to the lack of clear goals and expectations on the part of both parties involved. And this is really nothing to feel embarrassed about at all. For many, this seems too straight. It's just too forward. And to discuss the area of goals in the relationship and expectations could possibly jeopardize the relationship. And they wouldn't want to do that. They just feel privileged and excited that the relationship has even been established. However, this is contrary to what really happens. when goals and expectations are clearly expressed and agreed upon by each party, then each party in the relationship knows what their role is. And if this is not done, how will you know if you have reached your goals? How will you know if you are fulfilling your end of the relationship, thus ensuring that you're getting the most out of the experience? Involvement in a relationship with no purpose, with unclear goals and unclear expectations, is draining. It is not energizing whatsoever. And so clear markers allow everyone to know where they are and where they need to go. In the intensive mentoring level, this is often negotiated at the outset. Mentorees share their needs, they share their expectations, they share their goals, and the mentors do the same. They share their expectations and their needs and their goals, and the two of them begin to negotiate an agreement between them that will best help them both get to where they want to go. When there is no purpose and no goals and no clear markers of where you're going, frustration sets in, the relationship wanes, and people are left confused, wondering whatever happened to this mentoring stuff. I thought it was supposed to work. So second, mutually agree on the goals of the relationship.